and also a mystery. The Greek equivalent is mysterion, where we get the word mystery from. He wondrously opened for himself the fruitful secret place within thee, while preserving the token of thy virginity. With thee is the Holy Spirit, who with the Father and the Son sanctifies thy womb. Now, the word blessed art thou. Now, I said, Kyrie chaeharitomene is uniquely uttered to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Nobody else in Scripture is saluted by an angel or anybody else, for that matter, with the words, Hail, thou who art filled with grace. This is sui generis. It's utterly unique. It's an unrepeated event in the history of biblical events. However, there is a phrase that's used that echoes something said to two other holy women in the Old Testament before that, and that is, Blessed art thou. This was said both of Jael, whose story is related in the book of Judges, I think chapter 4, and of Judith. Now, it's very interesting. These are two of the three holy women in the Old Testament who killed evil men with deadly headshots. Jael killed Sisera in his tent using a tent peg. She took the tent peg and took a hammer and hammered it through his head from temple to temple and killed him. He was an evil tyrant. Judith similarly killed Holofernes, only she didn't use a tent peg. She just chopped his head off with his own sword. This, by the way, of course, the fact that both of these women were told after what they did, blessed art thou, is kind of a foreshadowing of the Blessed Virgin Mary, especially in light of the fact that we know that the Blessed Virgin Mary is she who will crush the head of the ancient serpent, right? So Holofernes and Sisera, two evil tyrants, persecutors of the people of God in the Old Testament, are kind of types of the devil. And they get defeated by the weaker sex, which is most humiliating when a woman defeats each one of these. St. Augustine says this, Blessed art thou among women, for thou hast brought forth life both for men and women. The mother of our race brought punishment into the world. The mother of our Lord brought salvation to the world. Eve was the originator of sin, Mary of merit. Eve, by dealing death, was a hindrance. Mary, by giving life, is advantageous. The former struck a blow, the latter healed. For now there is obedience in exchange for disobedience. Faithfulness is balanced by faith. Beautiful, very Augustinian utterance there. Contrasting the Blessed Virgin with Eve. Verse 29, speaking of Our Lady, who having heard was troubled at his saying, and thought with herself, what manner of salutation this should be. So she was troubled. How is it that the Blessed Virgin was troubled? There are various explanations of this, her modesty, her humility. St. Bridget writes this, or rather she's paraphrased by Elapide as saying that this insinuates that she fainted. No, St. Bridget herself insinuates that she fainted, that the Blessed Virgin fainted, because she feared that the one greeting her so gloriously was not an angel, but a devil attempting to deceive her. Now, I don't agree with St. Bridget. I don't think Our Lady fainted at the Annunciation. But it's an interesting thought, I suppose. Our Lady lacked concupiscence. She lacked the fomes peccati, the tinder of sin. But she also was intelligent, and she would have known the principal parts, at least, of salvation history. She was young. She was 14 years old or so at the time. But she would have been lettered, having been brought up at the temple, in the history of the people of God, or of her own people. And she would have known about Eve being announced to, there was an annunciation, as it were, in the Garden of Eden, where an angel, or a fallen angel, in this case, he was never really an angel. He was a pure spirit, though. I mean, the species is the same as angels, but angels are sent by God. He was never sent because he fell. So this pure spirit, this Lucifer who fell and became Satan, meaning the adversary, went from being the light bearer to being the adversary. He, you know, disguises himself as a serpent and goes in and makes this annunciation, as it were, to a virgin in the garden. So the Blessed Virgin, of course, would have known of this, and she probably thought it odd that this being would be approaching her in the privacy of her own cloister, of her own cell, where she was praying. And therefore, she was troubled. So she could have very well, and I think this is probably plausible, she could well have thought of of that first approach of a pure spirit to a virgin, and thought that this is possibly not a good thing. So notice in the Annunciation, she ends up discerning the spirits, which we're directed to by St. Paul. These people who look for, they want a spiritual experience. You know, they want to speak in tongues, or they want to have the Holy Ghost come into them and manifest his presence in extraordinary ways, because, of course, the ordinary ways of sanctity, you know, like St. Therese had and stuff, that's not good enough for them, you know. So what we need is, you know, something extraordinary. They have to have miracles, and they have to have signs and wonders and all that stuff. So they look for it. And when you look for those kind of goodies, there are persons perfectly willing to give you those goodies. And I say persons with great ontological precision, because fallen angels and angels themselves are all like us, persons. They're not people. They're not humans, but they're persons. And this person of Satan, or his fallen fellow demons, can certainly provide goodies at times, though there's always a cost, a very high cost for us, eternally speaking. But anyway, so Our Lady is testing the spirit. She asks a question of him, a legitimate question, after he's made all these glowing promises. And instead of saying, oh, goody, goody, I get to be the mother of God, you know, let me go shopping for gowns now. She instead asks him key questions about how this is going to happen. And only after she's discerned that this is a good spirit and not an evil spirit does she give her fiat, right? The fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum, be it done to me according to thy word. That be it done, that's the fiat. I'm not talking about a car, of course. Okay, so where are we now? Okay, Cornelius Lapide says that it's Our Lady's humility, her virginity, and her charity that we find here. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong verse. Okay, troubled. Not having concupiscence, the trouble would not have been panic. Oh, this is me. I wrote this. She was self-possessed. St. Ambrose says this, quote, know the virgin by her modesty, for she was afraid, as it follows, and when she heard, she was troubled. It is the habit of virgins to tremble and to be afraid at the approach of a man, and to be bashful when he addresses her. Learn, O virgin, to avoid lightness in talking. Mary feared even the salutation of an angel. So St. Ambrose, by the way, wrote a huge book on virginity, and he was known to promote the virginal consecration of religious life among women. All right, very much so. In fact, his own sister was a nun who was given the veil by the Pope reigning at that time. All right, so, and the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. Alapide says, you found grace because of your virtues. And he lists off three principal virtues: humility, virginity, and charity. So humility, virginity, or we might say virginal chastity, and charity. Huh? Charity being the highest one, love. Humility being the most essential, because without that you don't have the other virtues. St. Bernard says this, thou hast found what thou wast seeking. Thou hast found what no one before thee was able to find. Thou hast found grace with God. What grace? Peace between God and man, the destruction of death, and the restoration of life. Now, when saying that she's found what others didn't find, he doesn't mean that nobody else had grace, but he means that highest grace of establishing peace between God and men. Because keep this in mind, St. Paul says that our Lord is the peace offering. He is our peace, right? He makes peace between God and men. And he comes into this world in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, okay? So she found not only grace in general, but she found that grace that the hypostatic union itself, the union of divinity and humanity in the person of Jesus Christ, the incarnate Logos, would take place in her womb, right?